The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to Buckmaster on a Friday. It is February the 9th, 2018. The program, by the way, re-airs. We have a new re-air time. Tomorrow will be 6 a.m. So if you're up and about early tomorrow, you can hear the re-airing of our Friday edition. But right now we are live on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Our media partners, I like to do a big shout out to them on Friday. Folks who prominently display the Buckmaster Show logo on their websites, which makes it very convenient to link to our website where you can get pretty much every show we've done over the last 7 full years. Thanks to TucsonSentinel.com, the Green Valley News and Sol Rita Sun, Tucson Media Group. Tucson Weekly is in that group, Inside Tucson Business, The Explorer and Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Also thanks to Southern Arizona News Examiner and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Martha McSally, our Republican representing Congressional District Number 2 here in Southern Arizona. Congresswoman McSally is also a candidate in that three-way Republican primary for the U.S. Senate seat that is becoming vacant after Senator Flake announced he is not seeking re-election in the fall. Dan Scheer is with me in studio. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sol Rita Sun. Thanks, Dan, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Congresswoman McSally, did you get any sleep last night?
I did not, actually. How are you, Bill and Dan?
I'm doing great,
That's
thanks.
Another place where my military training actually helped me in Congress is operating under sleep deprivation.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, wasn't it? The shutdown was a little over, I guess, an hour or so, but what eventually came out of this was, I guess, a pretty much a bipartisan solution to keep the government going and funded for 2 years, correct?
Absolutely. Look, I have been tirelessly advocating that we need to stop playing politics with our military, that our military has been operating under these fits and starts of continuing resolutions, but it's been cut 20% over the last 8 years. There's no other federal funding that has been cut that much at a time when the world has become more dangerous. So I went to the mat saying, look, we have got to solve this thing, and we've got to provide some predictability for our troops for the long term. Said to Speaker Ryan, we have got to bring a bill that is at least $700 billion this year and $716 billion next year. This is the number that we believe we need to stop the bleeding for our military. That's the exact number that Secretary Mattis was advocating for, and that's the number that is in this bill. So finally, for our troops, they are getting the predictability and the resources that they need to stop the bleeding of this readiness crisis that is going on that's very real.
You kind of cut out there for a second on us, but will this halt the sequestration, Martha McSally?
For the next 2 years, it will. On the defense side, again, we were fighting for having $700 billion minimal and $716 next year, and this agreement provides just that. That is what we believe, and Secretary Mattis believes, is what the military needs in order to stop this readiness crisis that's going on. So it ends the defense sequester for those 2 years. It additionally provides some additional funds on the non-defense side. The good thing is that in the past, the Democrats have held our military funding hostage and demanded every dollar we increase on defense has to be increased on non-defense. And we're finally able to break that awful pattern. And there are modest increases on the non-defense side. And they're targeted to areas of our priorities. It's a down payment on infrastructure and support for the opioid crisis, support to NIH for disease, cancer and other research, things that we believe need to be targeted on the non-defense side, not just a slush fund for priorities of bureaucrats like it has been in the past.
Here's Dan Scherer, the Green Valley News.
Yeah, Representative McSally, this also includes $89 billion for disaster aid for those hit by the hurricanes. That's a big number. What kind of a dent is that going to make in the need that is in Florida and Texas and Puerto Rico? Florida, yeah.
Yeah, it is a pretty big number, but as you know, we had three, devastating disasters, plus the wildfires in California are included in this. So this was a compromise number, worked out between the administration and the governors to address the immediate needs. We've already done some disaster funding in the past, but those were, right off the bat. This is, an appropriate number at this point to address some of the rebuilding and things that have to happen that I think people across the political spectrum would agree is responsibility of the federal government. The devastation is significant and long-term, and so this is a one-time payment for this that was appropriate for these disasters.
As far as VA hospitals and clinics, there's $4 billion, that's with a B, that will be going there. What kind of services will improve under that that money coming in?
Yeah, so this money was targeted specifically at some of the infrastructure issues. We've had a lot of neglect over the last years in some of the facilities where they've got very real infrastructure needs that they've got to get, get some places up to safety standards and some improvements for veterans in that area. So we have in the past, a few times this year already, supported additional funding for the VA Choice Program. We made some votes before the end of the year to make sure there was enough resources there for our vets who are seeking care off the VA and downtown to the tiny manor. So that was not this particular target here. This was more on the infrastructure side.
Dan?
A lot of people, including an awful lot of Republicans, are concerned that hundreds of billions of dollars are going to be added to the debt, which is just over, $20 trillion now. How much did that weigh in your vote?
I am also concerned about the debt, and we have got to sit down and come up with a bipartisan approach to address these issues. However, we cannot hold our military hostage any longer, like one more day of them operating on a CR without getting the infusion of resources they need means more flags are going to be handed to family members as they die in training accidents and other things. This is really serious. We had 21 service members killed in combat in 2017. We had 80 killed in training accidents. And, having been a commander and served, it's what we call a chain of events when we have a mishap. And it's often a combination of things. Not, you don't have enough flying hours, you don't have the parts, you don't have the experience, you have the maintainers, you have a shortage of this, you're working long hours. It all comes together and then something happens and somebody doesn't come home. And so I very much felt like we had to focus on our military right now. And at the same time, our military spending is not what is driving up our federal spending. It's about 14% or so of federal spending. I really think we need to sit down and sort out going forward specifically what's driving up federal spending is healthcare spending, Medicare, Medicaid being two parts of that. But if we can really work to come up with some innovative ways to drive down the cost of healthcare, drive down the cost of prescription drugs, that's going to help people, their budgets for their families, but that's really a main driver and the main driver of our long-term deficit issues. It's not our military spending. So let's work together. We've got to do both of these things in parallel, but we can't hold our military hostage anymore because our troops need us more than ever now because of the lack of resources they have.
So the focus now turns to immigration, correct?
Well, yeah, among many things that we still have to do. But, look, I've been working on that issue now for several months in a very targeted way, since I've been in Congress as a border representative and chairing the border subcommittee. But we are, moving towards the bill that I've introduced with some of my colleagues. We're getting tremendous momentum in the House that we believe will provide a good starting point for negotiations with the Democrats in the House. We have two different, we got the House and the Senate. We each do things differently, as you can see, much to our frustration at times. But we've got to find some consensus to address this issue. And I think there is general consensus. People want to solve, some certainty for the DACA population. But across the board, I hear from constituents all the time who say, look, but we don't want to find ourselves in the same situation again in another 1 or 5 or 10 years where we have another DACA population. The mistakes of the past in the Reagan years, when they basically adjusted status of millions of people, was there was a promise and they were going to fix border security and they were going to fix the immigration system so it didn't incentivize and reward illegal activity in the future. And those things never happened. So I think many people are very very much thinking about that, and we can't do everything we want to do. We can't trip into comprehensive immigration reform, but we're trying to keep it as narrow and as targeted as possible that it provides some predictability and status for this population, but also doesn't reward or incentivize illegal activity or draw and ensure that we're going to have another population just like this in the future. So we've always been committed to this, and we were working on it. The budget process and the funding of our military got hijacked by the other side of the aisle, who decided to, you know, say they're going to hold all this up over this unrelated topic. And we finally were able to decouple that and let that go so that we can continue to move forward and find consensus on this issue.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more about the border with Congresswoman McSally. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News. We'll be right back after we take our first break. It is Buckmaster on a Friday. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona is moving to 635 West Roger Road. Our new home is almost done. We'll have a pet-friendly cafe, awesomely cool cat habitats, lots of play yards for our dogs, and a state-of-the-art clinic, and much more. We're caring for your new best friend until you find them at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Come visit us at 635 West Roger Road this spring and fall in love all over again. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, our Monday Political Face-Off features this week commentators Bruce Ash and Dr. Don Jorgensen. Plus, we have a newsmaker interview with the University of Arizona President, Dr. Robert Robbins. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. United States Representative Martha McSally, also U.S. Senate candidate, with us on the Buckmaster Show, a live line from Washington, D.C. Dan Scheer is here, Green Valley News, Sahorita Sun editor. Dan, why don't you pick it up?
Congresswoman, the president has talked about a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million young undocumented immigrants in exchange pretty much for $25 billion for the border wall. Did it surprise you when he made that proposal on really what this pathway to citizenship, I won't call it amnesty?
Well, I don't want to say it surprised me. I mean, I've had several meetings on this issue with the president, and I think at that moment in time, he was trying to show that he is willing to negotiate, and specifically what was going on in the Senate. He wanted to get his principles out there and show that his priorities, those other three pillars, strong border security to include funding, ending the visa lottery, and ending chain migration, which is otherwise known as extended family migration, were his priorities. And he was, you know, willing to negotiate on these other issues. I think it put the Democrats on their heels because, you know, Chuck Schumer and others were willing to shut down the government over this issue, claiming that they wanted to provide some status for this population. And here the president comes in and has this generous, you know, offer of almost three times as many people and a special path to citizenship. And the response by some of the Democrat leaders on this proposal was so extreme. If you look at some of the statements by Nancy Pelosi, you know, saying this is trying to make America white again and it's racist, I think it showed and exposed a little bit of perhaps, I mean, I don't know what's in their hearts, but their motivations are more to use this as a, you know, electoral, politics as opposed to solving the problem. And look, on our side, you know, we have a bill that does not provide a special path to citizenship, my bill. It allows the DACA population, the same population that Obama was focused on for this proposal, allows them the ability to stay here, work, travel, go to school, and...
We lost the Congresswoman just briefly.
Uh-oh.
There you go. There
we go.
You're back.
Did you get me? Okay.
No,
so, look, our bill does not provide, my bill, does not provide a special path to a green card for this population. It provides existing paths to a green card. So marry a U.S. citizen and they can petition for you, or you have an employer who petitions for you. And we're trying to balance it because, look, for example, you may have seen some of the news this week. There's an entire population from the country of India. A lot of them have been waiting in line for a green card, just the way our system is, sometimes for, like, decades. And while they are here legally contributing to the economy in high-tech areas and waiting because of per-country caps, their kids that were often brought here when they were very young and have lived and know no other country but America, when they turn 21 under the legal immigration system, they have to leave the country. So these kids are actually here legally. Their parents are waiting legally to get a green card, and when they turn 21, they have to leave. They are similarly situated to the DACA population. So if we're going to actually provide some solution on DACA, we have to keep in mind we want it to be fair in consideration of others who are actually here legally, but solve the issue and address the root causes. So I think, you know, we've got to get something through the House, the Senate, and signed by the president. And we're in the middle of the sausage making, which can be a little uncomfortable for people at times. And we're going to keep moving our bill forward in the House and kind of see where this whole thing lands to make sure, again, we address these very real security issues and the root causes of why we have this type of population here in the first place, to make sure we're not here again. That's our focus.
You have a three-way primary. This is the first time we've talked to you, Congresswoman, since your announcement for U.S. Senate. What's going to be the big separator between you and your two opponents in the Republican primary for Senate?
Well, let me first say that I'm so honored that we announced our statewide campaign for this Senate seat, and very quickly, within just a few days, we were zooming ahead of everybody in the polls that have been released. So we are getting a lot of enthusiasm behind me, having never won state wide before. I think where the enthusiasm is coming is people are looking at my military record, my background, my leadership, both in the military and since I've been in Congress, my ability to get things done, my effectiveness. You know, I was listed the 9th most effective member of Congress as a freshman in my first term. And as people are in Republican primary voters are looking, for people that are willing to work hard in order to address our priorities of supporting our military, supporting our veterans, border security, rolling back taxes, rolling back regulations from the Obama administration. And I'm doing that. I'm working with this president. For those who are very focused on, who is supporting and working with the president, I'm actually the one who's at the White House. I was there this week two times. One for a public roundtable on the MS-13 gangs and the impact that they have. I have been invited on multiple occasions when there's a single-digit number of members in the room to talk about health care, tax reform, infrastructure, regulations, and now immigration. And so I'm going to continue to lead on these issues. And I think what we've seen so far is the strong enthusiasm behind me is my effectiveness, my fighting spirit, my leadership. My military record is one that is having us zoom ahead, and we're going to keep fighting to the finish.
Joe Arpaio, Kelly Ward, Martha McSally, all Republicans going for that Senate seat. Are we going to see all of you on the same stage for a primary debate?
Sorry, you just cut out. Can you say that again?
Are we going to see all the three GOP candidates for Senate in a primary debate?
Well, first we need to see who submits the signatures. I think there's some other candidates out there as well. And you're not an actual candidate until the end of May when you submit your signatures, and for sure you're going to be on the ballot. So I think, that part has to happen. And we'll continue to be, working on how we're going to engage with each other and what the appropriate timing and venue is for that.
But it's something you would consider?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, earlier you had mentioned identifying areas that are driving the debt, and then you mentioned specifically health care costs. We know that on Capitol Hill, Big Pharma and the healthcare industry have a lot of lobbyists, and they're very influential. How do you overcome something like that?
Well, I'm not focused on that. I mean, you got lobbyists all over D.C. Look, we got to sit down and solve the problems that are facing our country and are addressing our issues that are impacting the people that we represent. And so these are complicated issues. It's not as simple as you're not going to go in and just say, oh, let's just fix prices, right? We've got some companies in my district that invest a significant amount of money in research and development and are on the cutting edge of some new technologies and personalized medicine. And they're investing in that, and they do need to be able to get a return on their investment. So we've got to have that balance of incentivizing R&D, because I really think we're close to having breakthroughs in major cancer research and other deadly diseases, while also not allowing companies to just, as we've seen with some of them, just mark up the prices thousands of percent and boxing out any sort of generics being able to get into the market once that is accessible. So I think this is a bipartisan issue. I've heard the president talk about this being a priority, members on the other side of the aisle as well. We need to really come up with some thoughtful solutions that don't have unintended consequences to cut down on research and development while bringing costs down. So I don't think it has anything to do with lobbyists. It has to do with complex public policy and making sure that we're addressing it thoughtfully.
I'm curious about your thoughts about a replacement for the A-10. There was some talk of a new aircraft that could replace the A-10. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, so the announcement is that Davis-Monthan has been selected for some follow-on, flying assessments of a couple of different aircraft that are called light attack aircraft. Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, these are not follow-ons to the A-10. That is not my view. That is not the view of the Air Force. And they have been very clear that this is an additive capability on the very low end of the spectrum in no-threat environments where perhaps they could use a capability like this, but they're still not sure they need it or what environments they could actually survive in. But it's supposed to be additive to the A-10, not replacing the A-10. There's no way that these light attack aircraft would be able to provide the firepower, the survivability of a direct hit, the ability to maneuver with the gas and the loiter time that we have, all the things that the A-10 brings to the fight in a contested environment. These aircraft, they're not trying to replace that. They're trying to be sort of additive. If it's a no threat environment and we need to conduct limited strikes at lower cost, could this be added to our inventory? But the jury's still out. The good news is that there are going to be a bunch of people in Tucson at Davis-Monthan spending money in our community during these tests, so that's always good for our economy. But I don't think people should fear that this is something that's going to replace the A-10.
And some wing, there were some retrograde or upgrades to the A-10s that are now back in Afghanistan. I understand the new wings installed to lengthen their lifespan.
Yeah, so here's the deal. There are 283 A-10s in the inventory. 173 of them have had their wings re-strengthened so that they can fly well into the 2030s. But when the Air Force thought they were getting rid of the A-10, they shut the production line down. So there's 110 of them that unless they get their wings re-strengthened, they're going to start being grounded. So we've been fighting tirelessly to get $103 million into this year's defense bill to restart that line again. We were successful to get it into the NDAA that was signed into law, and we got it into the House version of defense appropriations. Once we got this budget vote done, we now need to sit down and work the appropriations bill, and we've got to make sure that that stays in there for this year. And then the Air Force has announced in advance, the president's budget should come out next week, that they are including money for that line to be continued in their fiscal year 19 request. So that's good news that they've now realized that even though some of them were thinking they wanted to just shut three squadrons down, and I've been fighting them on this, that how do you have just nine operational squadrons when you have A-10s at the DMZ, you now have them in Afghanistan, they're fighting ISIS, they're deployed to Europe, they're sometimes in the South China Sea. We've got to keep every A-10 we have. So this is really good news that it's going to be in the budget for 19, and we're going to fight to make sure that what we got into the House defense bill makes it into the final omnibus appropriations bill.
All right.
We'll be working on in the next few weeks.
One more question. Are we going to see you and your companion animal in your U.S. Senate ad? And how is your companion animal?
Well, Boomer, the rescue golden retriever, is doing great. Thanks for asking. It's a little tough on him with the schedule that I keep, but you will likely see him. He's a big hit, obviously, on the campaign trail, so you will likely see him. He's still a little better behaving than the last time we used him in a commercial, but we'll see how that goes.
All right, give our best to Boomer, please. Will you?
I will.
All right,
I will.
Martha McSally, thank you for sharing some time with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Dan. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, coming up next, Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star is going to join us. Joe is covering Joe Arpaio this week. We'll find out how that went right after this.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back now to the Reporters Roundtable portion of our Friday program. Joe Ferguson joins us. Joe, a political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
And Dan Scheer is with us from Green Valley News, Saharita Sun. Thank you, Dan, for your participation in an interview with Martha McSally. I did notice that her responses seem to be shorter
than they have been in the past.
Sound bites. She's learning to speak in sound bites. I will say this. Her sound bites seem to say more than a lot of sound bites, so I'm glad for that.
One of her opponents apparently will be former Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Joe Ferguson. You were up at the Republican Club of Saddlebrook.
Yeah,
I was. Sheriff Joe was speaking up there, and you were treated well, I assume, and welcomed into the event, unlike what had happened a couple of weeks ago with the Pima County Republican Club, where you were asked to leave the session before Supervisor Miller began speaking.
They're so much nicer to me in Pinal County, apparently.
So how many signatures does Sheriff Joe need to make the ballot?
In excess of 10,000 to be safe.
Mm.
Statewide, that's a lot of Republicans, and they only can sign for one Republican. So, you know, that can get a little messy if somebody's already signed for Kelly Ward or for Martha McSally. So we'll see what happens, you know, come May.
What's the motive there? Sheriff Joe is raising money, right? He's raising money for he had some legal costs to cover. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a prolific fundraiser. He's often hinted that he'd run for governor and then decided not to, but raised money all the way before deciding not to run for governor several times. So he's raising money now, says that it's a calling and that the president needs his support in Congress.
Dan, I would think that in the Republican primary, in a three-way with Kelly Ward, former state senator from Lake Havasu City, Dr. Ward, and the sheriff, former Sheriff Arpaio, and Congresswoman McSally. Could it be that Republican voters will be saying who likes Trump the most?
Well, I don't know if they're going to actually be asking that exact question, but there's going to be a Trump factor in all of this. And I think by far, of course, Martha McSally, as she pointed out, you know, soared ahead in the polls immediately. I think some people are wondering just how serious Joe Arpaio is, because we've been wondering that for the last 20 years. And Kelly Ward's been on the trail for a long time, but she's been pigeonholed. She's very far right, and she has aligned herself with certain people that are going to make some people stand in her corner and others run away from her. So we'll see what happens here. I think Martha McSally, though, her best bet, and it's what she's always done, is she's going to just focus on the issues. She doesn't like drama, and that's real clear. She just likes to get things done. So I think that's the way she's going to approach this campaign.
Hmm. A couple of stories, Joe Ferguson, that you're working on. South Tucson, the city of South Tucson, one of the smallest, maybe smallest incorporated city in Arizona. I don't know that for a fact, but it wouldn't surprise me if it is losing half its fire department.
Yeah, so the always cash-strapped town of South Tucson is now looking at its budget again and had to cut in its fire department. It went from a 4-man crew, which is a national safety standard, down to a 3-man crew. And a lot of firefighters are saying that this is just far too much to ask, that it endangers both the firefighters and the health and safety of the residents that they're responding to.
I mean, it is, what, 2 square miles, basically?
1 square mile.
Oh, 1 square mile. Well, you know, that seems like, I don't know, it's a pretty small fire department, even for 1 square mile, right?
Yeah, you don't need trucks, you just run to the fire.
But it's in an urban area, so
course,
you've got three guys responding to every call in an urban area.
On a 24/7 basis, yeah. I mean, and not much downtime.
And to top it off, I mean, it wasn't long ago that they had a triple shooting in an afternoon that swamped their entire resources, so... Small town, but with big problems.
Dan Terry Goddard, former Arizona Attorney General, was in Green Valley. You had a nice conversation with him. He's, of course, pushing for the state constitutional amendment to ban so-called dark money. What do you think his success rate will be? Do you think he'll have success in that regard?
Well, he needs 226,000 signatures by July 5th. He told me that if he gets the signatures, they think it'll pass. They consider this to be bipartisan. He doesn't like the term dark money. He calls it dirty money. And very basically what that amendment would do, would it would require the disclosure of anyone who contributes $10,000 or more to a state or local campaign to be identified. And he just thinks that the people who influence our elections, and we know it's all about money, unfortunately, those people should be identified. So he thinks that if he can get the signatures, and this is an all-volunteer effort, by the way, that he this thing will go through.
Hmm. Think it might pass?
It's a lot of signatures.
Yeah,
I think it could pass, but the signature seems like the tougher road to hoe.
That flu is hitting Green Valley especially hard, isn't it?
It is, and we were talking to the Green Valley Fire District, and they have a nurse practitioner on board, and we talked with her, and she is going out on a lot of cases after she got over the flu herself, by the way. And we had a story in this past week that basically says, look, this season is only about half over.
And there some are saying it has not even peaked yet and will go on into May.
Right, and it's hard to compare to last year because the flu hit at a different period last year, but they're saying, look, get the shot, still get the shot. Don't feel like it's over just because your friends have had it. Maybe you've even had it, but this is very serious, particularly in a vulnerable population, young people, old people.
Dan Scheer, Green Valley News, with us, and Joe Ferguson from the Arizona Daily Star. A piece we will look for in the Star this weekend pertains to Oro Valley and their very checkered past concerning that the golf course.
Yes, the Oro Valley Council has been given a look at a plan that would reduce the number of holes, downgrade the restaurant that they have there, and discuss with HSL Properties the possibility of the Hilton taking back the 9 holes next to the hotel itself.
Mm. So how many holes are there now?
45.
45 holes. So they would be, this is a pretty big downsizing, and are they kind of trying to wash their hands of this?
No, they're just saying that maybe that they want to relook at recreation and that there are things that they're spending money on right now that benefit one part of their recreational area, golf, and they want to maybe open it up to see if they can do different things with that money and that space.
You know, what type of things, like parks and
parks,
hiking
and, you know,
trails?
Hiking trails, running areas.
Ball fields.
The restaurant themselves, they were going to make smaller, and then that space would go possibly to more recreational aspects of it, so a little year-round stuff, maybe when it's a little too hot to go outside.
And still pending in Green Valley is the transition from the Pima County Board of Supervisors has to vote and sign off on making the Kanoa Hills. Into
golf,
a park.
Correct, and that they have got a donation of 130 acres of fairways there, and they are this month assessing everything. They're going to be holding a meeting in Green Valley in early March to kind of deal with some misinformation that's out there. But right now, the county is doing due diligence, looking at the golf course and deciding whether this is something that they want to take on and how much it would cost. There is not a lot of public parkland in Green Valley, and there's a sense that they kind of owe this to that community, but they want to make a wise decision here. And then there are several properties tied to that, not to the donation, but right around in that same area, and people are wondering what's going to happen with those. So this is far from over, but right now they're just going through the process of figuring out whether this is something that the county wants to take on.
And I asked Pima County Supervisors Chair Richard Elias on the show, when will the vote be coming up? And he says in a couple of months.
Right.
So it's not imminent.
Correct. And there's still a lot of work to be done.
The hospital bankruptcy, your hospital in Green Valley, what's the latest on that?
Well, the latest is that it has moved forward. There was one bidder on it. It's Lateral Investment Management, and they have taken it over. Right now, there is still a lot of court paperwork to be done, trying to figure out who owes what to whom, and who's going to get the equipment, and how much is going to be paid to, you know, the debtors and everything. So there's still a lot of that to go on. But people are seeing the light here because they feel like Lateral believes in the hospital, that the community can support it. Certainly there is a lot of community support out there, and the staff has really been on board and been committed to keeping a hospital in Green Valley. So it's pushing ahead, still a lot of paperwork, as I said, but we're following it. It's at that very boring time right now, quite honestly, but important, just trying to figure out some stuff. So do we think it's going to survive? Yes.
Joe Ferguson, you spent quite a bit of time. You really began your career, your newspaper career, in Flagstaff, at the Flagstaff Sun, correct?
Arizona Daily Sun.
Yeah, and they are reporting today about the city manager decided unexpectedly he had enough.
Yeah, there's a little bit of drama on there. Josh Copley, who was once with the was the police department, is now the city manager, gave his notice, says that he will leave in 2 months, and says that the issue is just that he wasn't treated well by two of the council members.
I wonder what happened.
I don't know enough, but I expect the Sun that will dig into that story.
I can imagine what might have happened. Maybe there was some name calling or something. Who knows?
It's hard to say, but I mean, Josh isn't generally somebody that I haven't known to get his feathers ruffled easily. So,
Okay. Final note, Tubac, the Festival of the Arts, this is one of their big events of the year. Maybe their signature event, right, Dan?
Yes, Tubac Festival of the Arts is a national rated festival. It started on Wednesday. An opening day. Go to our two Facebook pages, Rita Sun and Green Valley News, did some live videos on there from some of the vendors. They got some new stuff down there. It runs through Sunday. I think it's 10 to 5 are the hours, and it's just a lot of fun, and the weather is beautiful. Might get a little windy tomorrow, but always a fun time just to walk around there and see what's going on. And Tubac is just a flat-out interesting place anyway.
It is, and we had Sharon Stone, who is the director of the Presidio down there, and we had Lincoln Wilson. There's a name for you, two past president names. He's head of the Tubac Chamber. They were on the program last month. They're trying really hard to get more people to come down and visit Tubac and Tumacacri.
Yes, yeah. It's a little tough sell in the middle of the summer, but again, lots of history and lots to do.
All righty. Joe Ferguson, we will look for your work, both your stories coming up on Oro Valley and the situation with the firefighters in South Tucson, and the Arizona Daily Star on Saturday and Sunday. Thanks, Joe, for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And Dan, we'll look for your work in the Green Valley News and Sal Rita Sun.
Appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Matt Russell has come, almost said Matt Shear. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Society proudly presents the 64th Annual Tucson Gem and Mineral Show.
Well, this is the junior education area. What we have here is a bunch of interactive demonstrations and experiments that kids can enjoy, as opposed to the rest of the show, which has beautiful things but that the kids can't touch. Here we can show the kids beautiful things, but they can also touch them and feel them.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, February 8th through the 11th at the Tucson Convention Center. Go to tgms.org. For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive to a beautiful environment. Explore historic Silver City or just hang out. Really, it's a great place to just do some window shopping, some great restaurants in downtown Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of the many fine places to stay and great recreation ideas there on the website for Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now to the host of Weekend Watch, the longtime host. Does such a great job for us here on Friday. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. We've got such a beautiful weekend on tap.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, we're going to have the high temperature probably for the United States, lower 80s. You know, this would be a great weekend to just actually sit out by the pool, maybe a glass of wine.
Yeah, you know what? As you know, there's been a lot of focus on local in the beer and spirits communities these days, but a new place just opened earlier this week that's a destination for those who love Arizona wine.
Huh.
Now, it's located in St. Philip's Plaza. It's called Arizona Wine. That showcases wines from all three of Arizona's wine regions. You know, Bill, there was a time when Arizona wine was an oxymoron, but our local winemakers have found a way for our climate and terrain to really produce some spectacular wine. So check out Arizona Wine Collective this weekend and try some.
Oh, we cut off there a little bit. Arizona Wine Collective. What about salsa, Matt?
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about later today that invites we the people to compete ourselves. It's the salsa cook-off, and if you have a salsa that you're famous for, you can enter. bottle north on Ina and Oracle, and they're going to be pairing their sauces with some of the great beers from Dragoon. It's really your chance to get some love for your home chef prowess, salsa style, today at 5.
Quickly about crawfish.
Yeah, crawfish boil at Sentinel Peak Brewing Company. It's happening tomorrow starting at 11 o'clock. Barbecue, wings, crawfish, tri-tip, pulled pork, beers, everything to support and celebrate Arizona Beer Week, which just kicked off, happening at Sentinel Peak Brewing Company starting tomorrow at 11.
All right, Matt Russell, have yourself a lovely weekend. Can't beat this weather anywhere in the country. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Bill.
All right, Matt Russell with our Inside the Weekend Watch. Matt from Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist. Weekend Watch presented by Silver City. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of the program. And I want to thank some people here. On Friday, we like to thank so many people who support this program, including Christophon, whose original theme music we enjoy so much here on the program. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. Our thanks to the team at KVOI, our operations manager, Ray Allen, who also is my producer-engineer Monday through Thursday. Tom Fairbanks, who is on the other side of the glass on Fridays. Thank you, Tom. Another very nice show produced and engineered by Mr. Fairbanks. Production manager, funny man, Jerry Cross. This guy is one of the best production guys in the business. We're very fortunate to have him here in Tucson at KVOI. Alisa, Elsa, Rhonda, Christina, our fine engineer who does such a great job. Thanks to all of them. Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of this locally operated and owned radio station. All of us together wish you a great weekend. Be safe out there.